Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go back to church because they had their service, Sunday school, before the church service. And why, boys and girls, is it necessary for us to be very quiet in church? And one little girl replied, because there are people in there sleeping. Yeah, there are at times. Sometimes it's even the minister. We're looking for peace and quiet, and that's why I kind of tell that funny story. We're looking for peace and quiet in the time of Advent and this particular Sunday. And quiet and peace seem to go together in so many ways. It can be very busy for us at this particular time of year, or it can be busy as we look around. Maybe we're not personally busy, but there seems to be a lot of busyness going on. And it seems from year to year, it almost gets busier. The traffic, there's more cars on the streets. We can notice that here in Burlington. We've seen more traffic just in the last few years. When you try to go to the mall and there's just middle of the afternoon on a Thursday, you know, like, well, where are these people not working? Like, who's got jobs? You know, but they're all out at the mall and rushing around and doing stuff, and it's crowded. We are here to find and understand this theme today of peace, a peace that is found truly in Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, as we explore this idea of peace in our Advent time and this particular Sunday, we ask that you will fill us with your peace, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that only you can provide for us. Help us, Lord, to embrace the idea of peacefulness and quietness and peaceful relations with other folks. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. So last week we addressed hope. This week we're taking a look at the word peace. And if you look up peace in a dictionary, there's all kinds of definitions that can be provided there. Freedom from disturbance, quiet, tranquility. I mean, there's lots of other words we can put together with that. It maybe has to do with, if you look it up in an encyclopedia, more or less, it has things of an absence of war or conflict, good economy, so everybody is moving along well, and things are, I guess, freedom from civil disorder was one I noticed at one point. The English word came into use, actually, the word peace itself in English, as a translation of the word shalom from Hebrew. And in Latin, that comes out as pax, P-A-X, and that pax turns into peace as we follow. And, you know, I like to follow all these historical kind of lines because it helps us maybe to understand where, when we figure out where it started, what really was meant by saying a particular word or phrase. And understanding what peace is something I think is difficult for us to understand in a world that is not very peaceful most of the time. Turn the TV on or read the newspaper or listen to radio, there's an awful lot of unpeaceful behavior going on, it would seem, right around our world. The idea also about peace, as I said just a minute ago, ties directly with the idea of being quiet. And we often think of a church sanctuary as being a place of quietness and peacefulness and restfulness. And in many ways, the word comes from that true understanding of quietness. And we're in a world today, I have to say, we're very afraid of being quiet. And in church services, in many cases, we don't do much quiet. We tend to fill up the airspace with preaching, with singing, with open prayers. And if we're in a more sort of a, I'll use the word loosely, contemporary type format, there's lights and sounds and screens and all that going on. We're afraid to just stop talking. It gets uncomfortable after a couple of seconds. A minister friend of mine advised me many years ago that silence is your friend. And he meant that in a completely different context because he was at a meeting one time and there was apparently a discussion going on and they were kind of angry with something that had gone on he was involved with and wanted to tear a strip off him and they barked about it for some time and he sat like this. And when they had finished, he waited, and that's when he said, "Silence is your friend. Wait just a second longer before." And then looked up and said, "Oh, were you talking to me? I'm sorry, I missed all that. Can you do it again?" That's passive-aggressive behavior, I suppose, but he reminded me that silence is your friend. And the more I got thinking about that, the more I got thinking about things like our longest night service that we have in the springtime when we do remembrance of life. It's sometimes helpful for us to just be quiet for a moment and to remember that this place, this sanctuary, and the word sanctuary itself even has context of quietness and peacefulness and restfulness. That this is a place where we can come on a Sunday morning to be refreshed and restored by God's peaceful nature in the quietness that the Spirit brings to us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That's from Matthew 11. You know, the Buddhists believe very firmly that the way to find peace is to end suffering. When suffering ends, we are peaceful. But they're missing the mark, because that's not all that there is to it. Jesus is peace. Jesus is the one who gives us the peace, because the burden he gives us is a burden that no one else can provide. The world only gets busier and more hectic and more worrisome and less peaceful and as we move along. And to just simply remove suffering only takes away one small part of that. It's not true peace, the peace that God gives us. In a world today when it's very busy, and I know I keep repeating that phrase, but it is very busy. I was talking with someone just recently, and they were telling me that they had been in another country, like Thailand or something like that, and they wanted to, where they were was not in a touristy area. They kind of got off the beaten path, and they found in this village there was a small hut, and they were selling iced coffee, believe it or not. And she ordered this iced coffee, and well, because the country she was in grows coffee there, this iced coffee was the best she'd ever tasted. Just unbelievable taste to it. So the next morning, off they go, see that again, and they go to the booth and ask for the iced coffee, and the person in the booth says, "There's no ice. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. I didn't get any ice shipment this week." "Well, when will you get some?" "I don't know." "Well, any idea?" "No, and I don't really care." Not that they didn't care about helping this person, but life was much slower. Life was not busy. We expect things to happen now here. And she said that she realized the difference between living here and living in a place where time runs at a different pace. And we often say that because when we go on a vacation, we want to go somewhere where it is slower and where it's quieter and we can rest. And we think, wow, wouldn't it be great to live in that environment all the time? And then we come back to here and we get busy again and get all stressed out and all that sort of thing. Busyness brings stressfulness and takes us away from that peace that God can provide. So we need to slow down. And I want to say that in this context. There's a thing that I've been reading about in the last little while by someone named Thomas Merton, who lived many years ago. And it's all about the contemplative Christian life. And we don't talk too much about that in our modern day because we want things to happen instantly. And I'm going to get on a soapbox. And I was on a soapbox already this week talking with some friends of mine. We're conditioned in our life to, because my thesis is this, folks. We're conditioned partly in life because media influences us in so many ways. Television and film has been with us, as I told the WA last year, for 100 years. So our culture has been influenced by the media of television and film and all of those kinds of things for 100 years. We're pretty conditioned to the pacing that takes place. So my thought is this. When we're watching television, and we all do watch television, although some of us you know, so I don't watch television, that's too lowbrow. But even when we're talking about reading something, we read quickly. The idea that we're conditioned to here is that everything gets resolved in 30 minutes, and it's 22 minutes now because they've been chopping up to add commercials on. So it's not really fully 30 minutes of TV we're watching. So in 22 minutes, in any given drama or sitcom, if I have a problem with someone, in 22 minutes, the problem is encountered or found. There's a separation that takes place. There's a resolution that takes place, and and there's the last commercial, and they come back for the last sort of flashback, and everybody's hugging. That's life. That's life. That's how we think life works. And whether you agree with me or not, look around. Relationships don't last very long, and when things get difficult and don't resolve themselves right away, we get discouraged often and walk away from those relationships because it didn't happen in 22 minutes. To get fixed. Peace takes time. Peace takes time. And the contemplative Christian life is encouraging us, as Thomas Merton is writing and showing in Scripture, is taking time to be quiet, taking time to take time, and taking time to let God work. And sometimes, as we look through Scripture, it takes a lifetime. Doesn't take 22 minutes. It can take 80 years. It can take 90 years. It can take 100 years for that to happen. God's peace is something that we need to work at, but not at a high rate of speed. Something that we need to think about. That's the contemplative life. Something that would be nice in one sense, and that's why I encourage this service next Sunday afternoon as more than just a remembering those who have, passed away, but as a time for us to be reflective, a time for us to just sit quietly in God's home and God's house here and let the peace of God overwhelm us and do so without the words and noise and sounds. I said it, and I'm going to just close it with saying it again. We are afraid of silence. And I'm very guilty of that. And you can ask Donna anytime. Because the television or the radio or the music is always on. And I've been working very hard at trying to turn it off. We're afraid of silence, folks. We like to have noise around us. And there's a lot of reasons that we can maybe ponder as to why that is. But it's an opportunity, if we can do it and challenge ourselves to do that, to let God's peace reign in our lives. It's hard to do with TVs going off and kids running around and phone calls coming in and dinners to make and cleaning up to be done and appointments with doctors that never seem to end. But if we are trying to be truly faithful to God, we need to take those moments to prepare our hearts to that God can be faithful in speaking the peace in silence that we are longing for. For God's peace is found in Jesus, and as we calm ourselves before Him, seeking His peace, we can and will experience something truly special this Advent season, and particularly this day when we're thinking about peace and what peace means for us as Christians and the peace that passes all understanding that Jesus provides. Amen. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase, is what it says in Scripture. May your righteousness go before God and prepare a pathway for the Lord. Let us now offer our lives and labor to God and present God with our tithes and offerings.